darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. Here with the full J-Squared contingent, Mr. Jeff Reed on my far left today, Mr. Jason Tross on my right. We will have a guest in the studio with us in the second segment, so I'll just tell you guys now, we won't get to phone calls today. Sometimes I just say it like this. Sometimes I can be a bit loquacious. Jeff is looking at me like, what? Should I put that one next to curmudgeon? Well, good evening, everybody. Most of you right now are making your way from your part-time job to your full-time jobs. And I just want to tell you that I appreciate you for listening to this program. But as you're making that transition from part-time work to full-time work, I just want to encourage you to do so with full and complete intentionality. Because if you don't know it yet, the first institution that God created, the first institution that God saw fit to unfold in the created order was the family. Before there was ever a church, before there was ever a government, before there was ever a monarch, before there was ever a prophet, there was family. And understanding the centrality, the importance that God places on family, I believe, would help us understand the role we should play within our own families. So when you're making that transition, you're not just coming home from work. You're actually going into ministry. And one of the most beautiful things about the Christian life is that the call to be witnesses, as our Lord Jesus himself in resurrected form articulated, the call to be witnesses is a call to a state of being. I say all the time, witnessing is never meant to be an activity. That's a state of being. That is our manner of living. That is our lifestyle. We are to be witnesses when there is a robust audience present, or when there's no one present but the audience of one. We are called to be witnesses. Now, our engagement, our evangelistic engagement, our interpersonal interactions should be the overflow of our disposition as witnesses. And wouldn't you know, God is so good. He told us that he gave us a little bit of help. Oh, a lot of bit of help. That he gave us his spirit to empower us to be witnesses. Folks, that does not apply exclusively to when you exit your home. I was telling a brother in the faith, man, don't you realize that the fruit of the Spirit shouldn't only be displayed outside of your home? The fruit of the Spirit should be displayed between you and your wife, between you and your children, inside your home. The gifts of the Spirit should be accessible. Some people saying, oh, didn't think about that, eh? Yeah, man. See, when you are a witness, you can't turn it on and off like a light switch. Remember that commercial, the clapper? You can't pull the clapper when you are being indwelled by he who is God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom to do what? To be empowered by his Spirit, to live according to his auspices. So as you're making your way home, some of you are listening to me while you're driving. I hope you didn't swerve. Just remind yourself. You know, say a little prayer during the breaks, because I know you're listening right now. Say, Lord, I know your Spirit is inside of me if you're a Christ follower. And guess what? If you're not a Christ follower, today is a day of salvation for you. The beautiful thing is, no matter what has transpired before this moment, none of it can keep you from the love of God. So if you're not a Christ follower, you didn't know that the Spirit of God was accessible and available to empower you to be his witnesses inside of your home, in the presence of your spouse, in the presence of your teenager. Some of people, a lot of us are going back to school. The Spirit of God is present, man. So I want to remind us that, man, serving in our families is ministry. The Lord told us from Jerusalem to Samaria, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the world, let us not neglect Jerusalem in our efforts to win the world, but invite the Lord God to operate in us first and through us secondarily within our homes. And if God can get a hold of us in our homes, the nation would be no problem. Praise God. Let me do this too. I have a few more travel speaking engagements and ministry opportunities around the country. And I have a full slate already for 2020. So I'll unfold those. I'll try to keep you up to date as much as I can. I'll post information about this on the various social media outlets. One I'll mention now, on the 19th of September. On the 19th of September, I will be in Culpeper, Virginia. You're going to get some information about this. We're going to start providing more information. This is a free free ministry event called Being Salt and Light in Difficult Times. Culpeper, Virginia. If you're in the area, just go ahead and mark your calendars now. I'll be giving more information more than likely toward the latter part of this week or the beginnings of next week, a Tuesday perhaps. But Culpeper, Virginia, September 19th, I will be there along with several others. I'll give you more information about that. But if you're in the Culpeper, Virginia area, or you can drive to that area, I'd love to see you, love to meet you there. It's going to be a great time there. And then in addition to that, in October 10th through the 12th, I will be providing a keynote address at the 2019 Values Voter Summit. So in Washington, D.C., I'll be there providing a keynote address representing AFA there. And then in addition to that, and I'm just giving these dates in case somebody wants to know about them, in November 15th and 16th, I will be in Cincinnati, Ohio, with my brother Alex McFarland at his Truth for a New Generation conference. You'll be getting more information about that, but I just want to give you that information so that you can mark those dates down. If you're in those areas, you'd like to come out there. This will be my first time actually ministering in the Cincinnati, Ohio area, so I'm looking forward to that. And if you want to connect with me, the Hamilton Corner, you can follow me on Twitter, at Hamilton Corner. You can follow the Hamilton Corner Facebook page, or you can follow the Hamilton Corner, subscribe to the Hamilton Corner's YouTube channel. All of those ways are available to you. All right. Man, talked so long already. 1 Timothy. I think I told you 2 Timothy, Jeff. I meant 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I told Jeff the wrong scripture earlier. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 is where I'm going to begin today's program. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Man, this applies to so much. I have some things I want to get to today, but I know I'm going to run out of time, so I'm planning to get to it tomorrow. Some of you might have seen some of these videos of, I can't call him Reverend, William Barber. I tweeted about it. I said, this is rank exegetical malpractice, where he's speaking at a Democratic National Committee meeting, and he's arguing that Jesus and the Bible endorse socialism. Jason, I'm going to just tell you now, we have to call his brother into order, because that is gross exegetical malpractice. We're going to dig into that. I hope to get to it today, but more than likely we'll get to it tomorrow. But this verse immediately came to mind when I saw that. So these verses, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Here we go. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits. Well, the King James says, seducing spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. I'm going to read that again. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Now, I want to dig into this a little bit, because I know I referred to William Barber before, but the biggest thing that prompted this for me is that in the past few weeks, there have been several, you know, celebrity-type Christians who have gone on popular media outlets in different places to announce for all the world to see, for all the world to hear, that they were abandoning Christianity, right? They wanted to announce it. One thing I want to do is just to remind you that you should not be concerned by that, nor afraid of that, because Jesus told us, the Spirit of God told us through his word, that this was coming. When Paul is writing to young Timothy about what was coming in later days, he included the days that Timothy was living in and projected into the future, that in later times, some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith. Many of the cults that are out there. Antichrist Hebrew or Israelitism. Mormonism. Jehovah's. Do I need to keep going? Depart from the faith. Jesus said, Paul wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if I or an angel come preaching another gospel other than what you have received of first, let him be accursed. But you got people running around saying, hey, I got another testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, of latter day. Man, that don't fit with the script. It's in the script. Let's get back to the word. Get back to the book. The Lord told us this was coming, folks. So the first point I want to say is every single one of us, me included, everything you hear me say, is especially when it pertains to the scripture, be a Berean. Go back and investigate these things for yourselves and see whether or not they be true. I'm not telling you take my word for it. I am offering it to you so you can pursue additional study. See, those who are offering doctrine to demons don't say that. They want you to wink. They want to wink and want you, hey, take my word for it. No. You and I have the responsibility of being Bereans so that our faith doesn't hinge upon some celebrity. I don't care if Bishop, Doctor, Reverend, so-and-so, I don't care who comes to you saying, you know what, I've reconsidered this Jesus thing and now I think it's wrong. Your faith and my faith should not be tethered to a person. Your faith and our faith should be tethered to the God of the Bible as he has revealed himself in scripture. So if your favorite, whoever, comes talking crazy out of the side of their necks, your faith isn't contingent upon them. That's why I posted on social media, Josh Harris didn't invent purity. Jesus did. Just because he got issues with it don't make purity wrong. And so I understand people that have been a little bit, you know, rocked by it, but let's make sure our faith is anchored in the anchor. Let me keep going. And then the Lord told us the mechanism for this departure. How was it? How did it happen? They would depart from the faith by devoting themselves or giving heed to seducing spirits. Don't be surprised. Many of the people who are abandoning Christianity, they have not been able to become victorious over various iterations of lust. I know it might be tight, but it's right. Some have given heed, meaning that they have yielded themselves, devoted themselves to deceitful or seducing spirits. Just because you may not have gotten victory doesn't mean anybody else can't have victory. And then the Bible goes further and says that they've devoted themselves to teachings of demons. Which brings me to this point. Why do you think if these people have, you know, invested their lives in one particular course of action, only to realize, man, I've been wrong. Now they want to announce how wrong they were and want to invite you to follow them now in the future. In my opinion, you've lost your ability to get followers, my man. You've already chosen a course that you're saying is wrong. Now you want me to give you a redo and say, now I'll follow you in your wrongness. Doctrines of demons. Now, I know that makes some people uncomfortable, but it's in the scripto. You see, because there are teachings that are demonic at the root and that are propounded by demons. If you messed up your whole life, and you just not realizing it after 20-something years of being messed up, why do you think somebody else should follow you? And I'm telling you, that's evidence of demonic doctrine because they're attempting to continue to teach. Why teach if you're admitting you don't know anything? I would give you a couple opportunities to sit down if you're confused.
Okay. defending a pro-life hero. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. In just a few days, Liberty Counsel will represent Sandra Merritt in court. All the charges against Sandra are baseless and politically motivated. She faithfully allowed the Lord to use her to expose some of Planned Parenthood's dirtiest secrets. Through bold, undercover journalism, she brought to light the abortion mill's business of selling infant baby body parts for profit. And now, Sandra is fighting for her freedom against 15 unfounded felony charges. The attacks against Sandra are coming from two fronts, Planned Parenthood and its hired gun, the California Aggressive Attorney General. No other citizen journalist has ever been charged with a crime for undercover recordings. Sandra has bravely stood up to heavily funded wicked corporations like Planned Parenthood and others. Pray for Liberty Counsel as we defend this courageous woman. Pray that the truth will be revealed and stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
In August of 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit our country. A ministry was born called 8 Days of Hope. You know, the number 8 in the Bible means new beginnings. And for the last 14 years, about 40,000 volunteers from every state in the country, different denominations, have come together to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And now we'd like you to join our family, the 8 Days of Hope family. Already in 2019, we've been to Arkansas, Alabama, Nebraska, Texas, and even New York. For more information about the ministry, go to our website, 8daysofhope.com. Click Get Involved, submit your email address, and anytime we go anywhere in a minute's notice, we'll send you an email, and hopefully you can join us. Above all, continue to pray for this ministry, 8 Days of Hope. It's the prayer of Jabez. God continues to enlarge in his territory for us to love and serve these precious families. Again, for more information about the ministry, go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Yale computer scientist David Gelernter made news last week by rejecting the theory of evolution. It's not that he converted to Christianity, but because science makes Darwinism impossible. The fossil record, he notes, is completely missing the transitional forms that show progress from one life form to an advanced one. Most species, he says, enter the evolutionary order fully formed and depart unchanged. He also observes that molecular biology demolishes the theory that genetic mutations can explain the increasing complexity of life. They can't, because mutations are invariably fatal to organisms. Mutations don't advance life, they kill it. So, science cannot explain the appearance of advanced life forms, or how one species can develop into another. It's almost as if a sovereign, all-powerful creator is responsible for the whole thing.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio, and I have in studio with me none other than my brother, Eric Horner from Eric Horner Ministries. Thank you so much for joining me on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine. And we here at American Family Radio are partnering with you and Eric Horner Ministries for a particular initiative that is dear to my heart, and I'm grateful in this particularly contentious climate that you are pushing forward, continuing to offer this ministry initiative, Operation Tank Full of Love. Yeah. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about that for a moment?
Sure. It's just a real hands and feet sort of effort to go and say, you know, say thank you for their service and provide them with a little gift of some free gas. And we also give them the gospel while they're there. We get the opportunity to pray for them if they'll allow us to. It's just a fun day. It's the body of Christ comes together. We show up at this truck stop near Fort Campbell. We take about 100 volunteers from churches all over and AFR listeners from all over. We got some listening right now down in the Houston, Texas area. They make the drive every year.
Wow.
And they come up and it's really, once you come one time, you got to come back. I mean, it just gets in you, you know.
Wow. Now you said we have volunteers that participate. So if people who are listening now, will they be able to sign up to
Sure.
be volunteers?
Absolutely. If you can make the trip, shoot us a message. Our website's tankfulloflove.com.
Okay.
And then we have a Facebook page, Operation Tankful of Love. Shoot us a message. I'll tell you how to get there and all the ins and outs.
Now, I'm sure you can tell a bevy of stories of the different things you've encountered. And even before we came on the air, I thought it was important to have this initiative even now, because right now the cultural climate is turned pretty hostile.
It is.
Towards our military servicemen and women. I shared a little bit of a recent poll from the Wall Street Journal and NBC News working collaboratively that showed among younger Americans, one of the national values that has declined precipitously has been patriotism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What type of things do you encounter when you do this Tank Full of Love outreach?
I tell you, the folks that are actually in and actually doing the job, the 1%, they are still on fire for America. They believe in their mission. You know, they walked into that recruiter's office. They said, "I'm going to raise my right hand and I'm going to defend freedom if it costs me my life." You know, and that's such a amazing and huge commitment, and it's one that a very few can actually make. You know, yeah. It is the 1%, and the day is just. I wish I could take you with me because the day is amazing. It's amazing to look into their eyes and to see. They get it. They're so grateful that they have not been forgotten. Mm. That, you know, they. I've said this several times today, but after 9/11, 2001, you know, this patriotic fury went all across America, and we held those guys and gals up as the heroes that they are. But that's all kind of gone away. You know, with time, people forget, and they really do feel forgotten so often. And as you said, the climate now for those who serve in our military and those who serve on the front lines locally, our police, and it is just a really hostile attitude toward them. This is just some little way that we can, you know, try to shine the light of Jesus to them and let them know that He loves them and that we love them and say thank you for what they're doing on our behalf.
Now, you mentioned that you guys also have the opportunity to share the gospel at times with the service members who you serve through Operation Tank Full of Love. And again, if you're just tuning in, what it is, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, people give from all over the country.
Yes.
Put funds together to just be able to show a visible, tangible expression of gratitude and appreciation by giving a full tank of gas to a military serviceman.
Yeah.
Particularly in Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Yeah. We get questions sometimes about that. Why do you do it at Fort Campbell every year? Well, that's just sort of our home team from where we live. We live in Nashville, Tennessee, and they're pretty close to us. But there are soldiers at Fort Campbell from every state in the Union. Mm. You know, it's not just, you know, it's really a blanket thing. We're hoping to grow. We've been asking all day for listeners to give us their opinions on why we should bring Operation Tank Full of Love to your market. We're looking for another. We're going to add a second location. It takes so long to put the funding together and the planning. I'd love to jump out there and do 10 at one time, but that would be, you know. But we're going to try to grow it one at a time, and we are looking for a new market for next year to add to it. So.
Okay. So so if you're listening and you would like to have an initiative of Operation Tank Full of Love in your neck of the woods, you should contact Eric.
Yes.
And try to put this thing together. And I'm going to tell you, Jason and Jeff, I want to try to go to the next one. How long have you been doing these?
This is number 9. You're number 9. And it's really cool to watch the Lord grow it through we did it for 2 years and we were just kind of struggling. We didn't, you know, learning our way on how to do it. And it was really chaotic.
Mm-hmm. As many things are when you're starting it.
First year, I had no idea what to expect. And so we just advertised, hey, we're going to give away some free gas. Mm-hmm. We shut the town down. You couldn't go anywhere. The mayor was mad. emergency vehicles couldn't go. So the second year was a repeat of the first. I asked for help and didn't get it. And the third year, they figured out I wasn't going to go anywhere. So the police got involved, and they helped us get a traffic pattern, and it just runs smooth as glass. You mentioned that we get to share the gospel with them. The way we do that is I tell my volunteers that because we get soldiers from every walk of life.
Yeah.
We don't want to be heavy-handed, but we just – I tell them, you know, open the door by just saying, is there anything – that we can pray with you about.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, it is an awesome thing to just watch that parking lot. We'll have 12 pumps, 120 volunteers, and prayer meeting just breaks out all over the place. It's really awesome. And you see a lot of tears. You see a lot of needs being met other than just some free gas.
Man, this stirs me for so many different reasons and at so many different levels, because I preach incessantly on this program that every single Christ follower is called to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And the world around us is so desperately in need of ministry. We don't necessarily need additional people clamoring to try to find another position inside of a corporate worship gathering to find something to do to be effective.
Yeah.
But see how the Lord is stirring you. This is a beautifully creative way to allow the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for your fellow man to exude out of you. And then the Lord creates ministry opportunities by just saying, hey, we want to fill up your tank of gas. Is there any way I can pray for you?
Yeah. And they also get, I just call it, hey, church, it's time to leave the building. But they also get, every soldier that comes through gets a gift bag. And the gift bag is where the gospel's presented. There's always a copy of the word in there. Mm-hmm. We put a track in it called Promises for Soldiers to share the plan of salvation. We have a DVD called Honoring the Code, which is a wonderful ministry tool for any soldier that's been struggling with anything. Sometimes we're able to put music if budget allows, and so it's just, we give them the gift bag, we pray for them, and we trust the Holy Spirit to do what he's going to do.
Man, praise God. Now, I want to, ask you to share, how can listeners contact you if they would like to volunteer at the Fort Campbell Operation Tank Full of Love effort?
Sure.
And secondarily, if they'd like to bring this to their neck of the woods, how can they get in contact with you?
You can reach us several different ways. If you go to our website, it's www.tankfulloflove.com. You can message us there. Our 800 number's there that you can call us. Or we have a Facebook page, Operation Tank Full of Love. Mm-hmm. Send us a message through there. We would love to have you. I promise you, if you'll come one time and serve the soldiers, you'll come back.
I believe
that. It changes
that.
You.
And you said, church, it's time to get out of the building. I think part of the problem is when we put church and building together in our own mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get out of the mindset when we think. I mean, when I think church, I never think building.
Yeah.
Never think building, because the church is people.
Yeah.
We're people. Buildings are great tools to allow the church to do what we're supposed to do, but it's people. And so I think a big demolition ball, a big wrecking ball needs to come to the idea that church is associated with a building.
Yeah.
Because that's not how we started, and that's not how we're going to end.
Right.
And so it would behoove us to shake that type of thinking, that type of ideology. I would like to ask you just to share with our listeners, and I'm asking you this for several reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, because I love hearing the historical backdrop of your testimony generally, but I'm going to talk specifically about Operation Tank Full of Love. But secondarily, I think it's instructive for people who are listening to hear how God will take his forming in one person and cause them to think, wait a minute, how could God stir me to use what I have and who I am for his kingdom purposes? So how did you get started with Operation Tank Full of Love?
You know, it's just like, of course, I'm a songwriter, and I never know what the Lord's going to use to inspire a song. Well, he can use just about anything to inspire just about anything. And we stopped our bus at a truck stop right down the road from the front gate of Fort Campbell. We go by that. We stop there often. We make that path often between Nashville and Kentucky. And when I got off the bus to fuel it up, I looked across the parking lot, and there were 8 or 9 soldiers out there getting their gas. And I just thought, I wish I had the means to just go pay for all their gas and tell them that it was on me today and thank them for their service. And boy, right then and there, the Lord began to work and stir me. And by that night, I knew what to call it, Operation Tank Full of Love. And I thought, okay, well, it's a neat idea. How are we going to pay for it? And I began to write letters to churches where I had ministered and said, hey, we're thinking about doing this, for the soldiers. Who wants to come on board? And several did. That first year, we raised $8,800. And boy, we really thought we'd done something, it took us all of 2 hours to give that away. So we thought, okay, we need to raise the bar a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, next year our goal is going to be $25,000. And as soon as the words left my mouth, I thought, back in my mind, I'm thinking, ain't no way we're going to raise $25,000. Well, the Lord showed me, because 30 showed up.
Come on, man.
And our biggest year has been 60.
Come on.
We're at $320,000 before this year's event.
Man, so come on.
I can't do that. The Lord does that.
And I'm so excited. Look, you can tell I'm easily excited. I'm like a live wire, so I don't need much to get going. But here you have, you might describe it this way. It wasn't even your main thing. You're just living and doing your main thing. And in the course of doing your main thing, you see a need.
Yeah.
And the Lord connects that need to a heart condition that's already been cultivated. And you start with, man, it'd be nice if we can do that. And now we're at Operation Tank Full of Love, 6-figure budget, the whole 9 yards. And my wife will tell you, I say frequently, the calling of the Lord is his calling. We have to be careful we don't allow ourselves to be manipulated by assignments. Assignments can be temporal or even a particular region or whatever, but the Lord's call remains the same. Mm-hmm. So while you're doing your main thing, you're a songwriter, you're singing, and next thing you know, man, these guys need some gas.
Ministry is ministry.
Ministry is ministry.
Yep.
This is exciting. It's exciting to me.
It is for us too.
It's exciting to me. I'm going to be praying that the Lord will use this interview and this year's engagement to expand this.
Amen.
Across the country. And I know you're already saying that. And I know we have some pretty well-resourced listeners. I say it that way.
Yeah.
Get in touch with Eric so we can bring this to additional locations all around our country. And like I said yesterday, I don't care what the temperature of the culture is. We can create the culture we want to see.
Absolutely.
We can create the culture we want to see. And this will be a huge initiative in that particular direction. Now, I know there's a goal this year, the number of soldiers you want to serve with filling up their tanks.
We average 1,800. Mm-hmm. And they've been talking about 2,500 today, and we've been talking about 2,500. We'd work late into the night, but we would sure enough do it if mm-hmm. we could raise that much funding. But we'll serve a minimum of 1,800 if we'll start at 8 in the morning and we'll go till we run out of soldiers or run out of money, one or the other. And
I think you'll probably run out of money before you run out of soldiers.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
If you are listening, guys, let's help Operation Tank Full of Love serve 2,500 soldiers this year. Get in touch with Eric. Go to Operation Tank Full of Love. Let me make sure I got the website right. OperationTankFullOfLove.com. You can also contribute at AFR.net. You can go to AFR.net. Yep. You can contribute there. Let's blow the doors off this thing.
Yep.
Let's blow the doors off this thing as an example as to what God does with everyday people. You know, the Lord doesn't need, you know, big giants, people that have, you know, clefts in their chin or whatever. You have biceps and triceps. The Lord uses regular folks get his work accomplished. And I'd love to see this happen. Anything else I'm leaving out that you feel like the people need to hear?
Well, there is an 800 number.
Okay.
Through AFR. If you want to donate through AFR, the number is 877-616-2396. Again, 877-616-2396 or AFR.net or tankfulloflove.com. Any of those.
Those are great ways to get involved. You can probably tell I'm pumped and I'm ready to go. Because this is such a phenomenal, phenomenal initiative. Would you just share a little bit, if you can, maybe one example of a testimony that you've experienced through doing Operation Tankful of Love?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of stories.
I'm sure.
There's a lot of stories.
Why'd I wait this long to ask that question?
Sometimes they'll give you their story, sometimes they won't. But the things that come to mind, and I've told this story earlier today, that we heard, we came to the end of the day, and I stepped up on the bus. I was the last one to get on the bus, and I had about 8 people on there, and everybody was just in tears, and I thought something bad had happened. But a message had come in through the Facebook page from a military spouse. Mm-hmm. And my wife tried to read me the message, but she couldn't. She was a military spouse. She lost a husband in the Beirut bombing in 1983. Mm-hmm. So she knows. She's been in those shoes. She knows how to try to stretch that military dollar and how tough that is. So somebody else read me the message, and it just said, you know, we just wanted you to know how much this helped our family. And I'm thinking, well, how much could this really help the family? But she said, I got up this morning, and she said, I checked our accounts online, and she said, I realized I'd made a grave error. And she said, we had $18.65 to live on until the end of the month, the 30th. This was the 11th.
Wow.
3 children.
19
days. And the Lord used this just to help them put some food on the table. You know, a lot of times they have to make that choice.
Yeah.
What goes on the table for the kids, or we got gas for the car. Another soldier, of course, I don't want to make anybody look like a charity case. But
right.
So, you know, everybody's financial situation is different. But one soldier, his wife came through with him, said, you know, my husband's been selling his plasma to have gas money to get back and forth to the post. Mm-hmm. And just, I mean, it's story after story after story. And those are the ones that just stick with me. But it's making an impact, and it's making a difference, and it's something that's real, and it's something that's helpful to the military family, mm-hmm. and they're getting the love of Christ all in the middle of it.
Man, and I can only imagine when you have soldiers who are either preparing to deploy or returning from deployment,
mm-hmm.
when they hear the question, is there anything I can pray for you
yes.
about? I mean, preparing to deploy, is there anything you can pray for you about? Yes, I can think of a few things, or even returning.
Yes.
From deployment, having experienced the theater of war and all of these mm-hmm. things, and having to reintegrate into civilian society, man, this is a fantastic ministerial outreach. Eric Horner of Eric Horner Ministries. You can go to OperationTankfulOfLove.com, AFR.net, either one of those websites to contribute to this wonderful work as the hands and feet of Jesus, or you can call to donate at 877-616-2396. The number again is 877-616-2396. Thank you so much
for
being on the program.
Thank you.
thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
Alexa, play American Family Radio.
Welcome to the AFR Alexa skill.
Alexa, play the Today's Issues podcast from August 10th.
Do you want to play Hour 1 or 2?
Hour 1.
This is Trivia Friday.
Click Just Ask Alexa at the bottom of the Alexa FAQ page at AFR.net to get started. Then use Amazon Alexa to access the programming of American Family Radio.
Preferred pronouns. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Who would have thought we would have regressed to a point where people believe they can change their gender and compel others to call them by their preferred pronoun? So should a Christian affirm a transgender's self-deception, calling someone she, even though the person was born a he? When Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well who claimed she had no husband, Jesus stated the truth that she had had five husbands and was living with a man not her husband. Jesus' motive was not to demean her, but to lead her to saving faith in him. May our interactions exhibit the same grace and truth. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
The Great Poultry Wars of 2019. That story coming up. The year 2019 may go down in history as the year of the Great Poultry Wars. First, Popeye's Fried Chicken declared war on Chick-fil-A, going beak to beak over their fried chicken sandwich. And now Kentucky Fried Chicken is jumping into the fray, announcing a new plant-based chicken prototype. They plan to test market the fake fried chicken at a store in Smyrna, Georgia. They are also testing fried plant food-based nuggets and boneless wings, which really aren't wings because plants don't have appendages. It really does make one wonder if KFC has gone finger-licking nuts. You don't mess with the gospel bird. Call me old-fashioned, but if you're into plants, eat a salad. I'm not sure who thought it was a good idea to serve fake fried chicken in the Deep South. It sounds to me like somebody's been smoking those 11 herbs and spices. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter Podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. Got a little bit, since we only have one segment left. May not be the foolishness du jour. It might just be the, you know, a little bit of the foolishness du jour. So, in Washington, D.C. Superior Court, there was an interesting filing made today by a woman by the name of Dr. Beth Minnett. It's spelled M-Y-N-E-T-T. Dr. Beth Minnett was married to a man named Tim Minnett. Tim Minnett is, and I want to give it to you the way he's described. He is a digital communications, internet advertising, and fundraising consultant for Democratic candidates, generally speaking. More specifically, in the last several years, he's been working for Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Now, I refer to a little filing. The filing that I refer to was a petition for divorce, where Dr. Beth Minnett filed a document in the divorce proceedings from her husband, Tim Minnett, who's 38 years old. Dr. Beth is 55. They have been married since 2012. And they were together for 6 years before getting married in 2012. They have a 13-year-old son together. However, it appears, based on this filing, that there's been an interruption in her marriage to Tim named Ilhan Omar. According to the filing, Tim Minnett has been conducting an adulterous affair with Ilhan Omar. This is not the first time, speculations about them being in an adulterous relationship being discussed. Now, this is the first time I'm discussing it on my program because I have no desire to be a tabloid. But I'm sharing this because it, for several reasons, you're going to hear the later reason in a second, but because this has been a product, it's been introduced in court records now. There have been many people, especially amongst the Democrat inner circle, that have been whispering, seems like Ilhan Omar is hooking up with Tim Minnett. He's a longtime Democrat strategist and politico on the Democrat side, but he seems to be consumed by Ilhan Omar. Dr. Minnett said that she noticed that Tim Minnett has been spending long hours at work, traveling incessantly, but now she realizes it's because he's been carrying on an affair with Ilhan Omar. Now, here's another little piece that I found rather interesting. That since 2018, and Tim Minnett has a company called E Street Group, Ilhan Omar, through her campaign, has paid Tim Minnett over $230,000. And one of his chief responsibilities for her campaign is as a fundraising consultant. $230K. Now, I want to remind you of something, because you guys know there's no such thing as multiple races of human beings. I think this obsessing we do in our culture over skin color is absolutely ludicrous. But the regressives among us are obsessed with identity politics. I mean, obsessed with identity politics. Tim Minnett happens to be of a lighter pigmentation persuasion than myself and of Ilhan Omar. But as soon as I saw this story, I immediately was reminded of this in clip number one.
Our country should be more fearful of white men across our country, because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country.
Now, leaving her aversion for the truth about causing the most deaths in the country aside for the moment, did she say we need to be more fearful of less melanated men? I guess she wasn't that afraid of them. For herself. Maybe we should be just as afraid of less melanated men as Ilhan Omar. Well, not less afraid as she is, because I mean, hey, she's willing to, you know, destroy her marriage as well as Tim Minnett's marriage. Like, it's just another example of the rank hypocrisy, right? You know, you got the Obamas. Oh, we believe in climate change. Yes. I have to put my Obama on for this. Let me be clear. We need to be in the Paris Climate Accord. Climate change is an existential threat of our time. But excuse me while I put $15 million down on a beachfront property. Man, you don't believe the ocean levels are going to rise if you buy a property in front of the ocean. Pivot Ilhan Omar. You don't believe less melanated men are a threat if you hanky-panky with less melanated men. I mean, come on, man. This is ridiculous. This is utterly ridiculous. Now, you have this entire scenario playing out. The Minnetts have a 13-year-old son. Dr. Beth Minnett appealed to her husband, Tim, saying that I know you've committed adultery with Ilhan Omar, but I want to save our marriage. Tim tells Dr. Beth, nah, chief, that ain't going to work. I'm in love with Ilhan. He told his wife, according to the papers now. According to, and here's the thing, when you file these papers in court, you are affirming to the authenticity of what you're representing in the court, in the record. So Dr. Beth is telling the court that I was trying to reconcile with Tim. I knew that he committed adultery, and I still wanted to make it work. But he tells me it's a no for me because I'm in love with Ilhan Omar. Now this is the same Ilhan Omar who has two ex-husbands on her record. Her first husband, Ahmed Hirsi, with whom she married in a private Islamic ceremony. I don't know how, you know, I'll leave that alone. She divorces Hirsi, marries Ahmed Elmi, who appears to be her brother. And she married Elmi in what we may describe as a traditional wedding. And according to what everything that would appear to exist, she married him for the purposes of immigration fraud, student loan fraud, IRS fraud, and a whole lot of other fraud. And I'm sitting here wondering, I wonder if the Department of Justice is interested at all. Then she divorces Elmi in records that say she don't know where he is, although she has social media pictures where she's hanging out with him in London. Folks, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what the facts state. She can clear all of this up for everybody. But she refuses to comment on it. Divorces what seems like to be her brother. So I think her original last name was Ilhan Elmi. Divorces him, remarries Hirsi. They have another child. So they have three children. Now it appears that she and Hirsi are on outs again because he just took a job last year, according to the local Minnesota paper, as a strategist for a local Minnesota councilwoman. So the first ex-husband with whom she has three children is back in Minnesota while she is living it up from D.C., but all around the world. I mean, this guy's been traveling with her. Tim Minnett has been traveling with her. Man, this is just a hot mess. So what I'm ultimately getting to, and I hadn't even gotten to this, but you know, I have a sneaky suspicion, and this is, I don't have the facts to support this, but I have a sneaky suspicion because of the regressive obsession with identity politics. And let me say this. The source of a lot of the attractiveness for a lot of regressives for Ilhan Omar is that she's just an authentic politician. Well, how authentic are you? On the one hand, you're saying that, you know, people should be scared of less melanated men while you are willing to cavort with less melanated men. Come on. And again, you guys know, identity politics, I completely despise it. But I have a sneaky suspicion that because of the regressive obsession with identity politics, that this 10-minute dude thinks he has a moral connection to be with the immigrant from Somalia. That he's willing to destroy his family to pursue. I could be wrong about that. And I hope I am wrong about that. I hope that the Minutes find some kind of way to reconcile. And if they don't know Jesus, that they humble themselves before the foot of the cross is what I hope. I hope the same for Ilhan Omar. I do. But I have a sneaky suspicion that this obsession with identity politics might have played a role in this divorce filing. I'll leave that alone for a moment. I told you guys after the second set of Democrat debates about how Tulsi Gabbard seemed to put the 1-2 on Kamala Harris, and that has sent her ratings plunging. Well, it seems that the powers that be have it in for Tulsi Gabbard, because to date, Tulsi Gabbard has still not been approved to participate in the next Democratic debate coming up in September. Although She has satisfied all of the criteria to participate. You only have to have upwards of 2% across a number of polls, as well as over, I think it's 130,000 individual donors to your campaign. According to Nate Silver from 538, he said this, quote, Gabbard's campaign has claimed that she's received at least 2% support in more than 20 polls released since the second debate. But only two of those surveys are from pollsters, here's the key wording, sanctioned by the DNC. Aha! You see, the DNC isn't satisfied with having candidates satisfy the metrics across all polls. They are picking and choosing which polls they want to recognize. And to that end, independent journalist Michael Tracy opined in this manner. Quote, Gabbard has gotten over the required polling threshold in two separate polls in two separate early primary states. The Boston Globe is a newspaper with the widest circulation in New Hampshire, and the Post and Courier is the newspaper with the widest circulation in South Carolina. Gabbard has gotten placed at 2% or more in polls published by those two newspapers. But the DNC, in its bizarre, mysterious, infinite wisdom, has decreed again, arbitrarily, that those polls are not approved. Isn't that interesting? It gets worse. Nate Silver said again, quote, among Tulsi Gabbard's complaints are that the DNC's rules about which polls will be counted aren't very consistent. Some highly rated polling organizations were left off of the DNC's list, and some surveys were excluded despite being sponsored by notable media organizations. For example, state-level polls conducted by online pollster YouGov on behalf of CBS News have been counted, which is approved by the DNC, while national YouGov polls sponsored by The Economist have not been approved by the DNC, though it's the same YouGov. I may be wrong, but I think the DNC don't want Tulsi to put another smackdown on anybody, namely Kamala Harris. I could be wrong about that, but why else wouldn't they? I mean, it's about civic engagement, Mr. Charles. We want the people to be informed, right? What'd you say? Yeah, Jason said she got Bernied. She got Bernied. I find that very interesting. So after debate round one, Kamala Harris was that girl. I am that girl. Got the t-shirt and everything. Debate number two, Tulsi Gabbard says, I'd like to talk about your record as Attorney General of the state of California. Kamala ratings go down the hole. Next thing you know, Kamala's getting boxed out like Dennis Rodman in the paint for a rebound from the Democratic debates. I find that to be very interesting. Very interesting. The shenanigans seem to have no limits with these folks. But it's sad to say that Tulsi Gabbard won't participate. Personally, I want to see Tulsi Gabbard in another debate based on her performance in the last debate. But I guess part powers that be in the DNC don't want that to happen. All that can indicate is that the commitment has already been arranged that should Kamala Harris peter out on her own, that she may be jockeying for a position as a VP or a cabinet-level position. And nobody else had the courage to take on Kamala Harris but Tulsi Gabbard, and they don't want to see her embarrassed again on national television. We'll have to see. But the next round of debates are in September. Folks, if you do not yet know the Lord as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.